Heaven, thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, again, thank you for what you're doing. Father, I want to thank you for this moment this morning. I want to thank you for Brother Omer. And Father, the message that you've given him, I believe, is something that each one of us need to hear. There's something in this message for each person here. Father, and I know in your sovereignty, you can minister to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would open our ears, open our hearts, that we could hear from you. And the words, the things that are on your heart, I'm asking, Father, could be spoken through Omer to our hearts. So, Father, be glorified in what all is said and done here. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Omer.
Thank you. Well, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. He is our King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. And he is the Lord of all. He is the Savior that came to redeem us, to set us free from the awful bondage of sin. And this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Liberty, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we believe this morning that the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can sense that this morning as we were worshiping and singing, that God's presence, God's Spirit is with us here this morning. And I am so thankful for the opportunity to be here. I feel honored to share with you this morning. And I just want to bless you in your walk with the Lord, in your walk with the Lord here as a congregation, and as you go out to minister to the hearts and lives of the people in the city here. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. How many of you know that chorus? I think we'd have enough here to sing it. Let's stand. And I want you to think about these words, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. First, it tells us to melt me, to mold me, and to shape me. And also talks about when we're surrendered to God, what do? We raise our hands as in surrender. So let's this morning, don't feel bashful and afraid to raise your hand. Let's sing this song. PJ, can you lead it? Spirit of the living God.
Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Go back to that just a little bit again, where it talks, when you melt something, it becomes liquid, and you can do with it pretty much what you want. When you melt it, then you can shape it. So what we're asking God to do this morning is to melt our hearts, and then to shape it, and then to fill it with his Spirit. And that is my desire for each one of you this morning, that your heart could be full and overflowing of the Spirit of God in your hearts. The title of the message is An Empty Vessel. And I would like to bring a story to your minds this morning about in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And before we go there, we hear a lot today about reset. It's a big reset we hear. We hear a lot in the news today. It talks about we're going to reset the world. We're going to reset our nation. Well, maybe this morning it's time to press the reset button in our hearts as well. Maybe it's time the church presses the reset button, and we start afresh and anew again of what God has for us. 2 Kings chapter 4, I invite you to turn there if you can. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, What should I do for you? Tell me, what do I have in your house? What do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. And if we think about this story just a little bit of what it's actually saying here, this widow woman was a very, very poor woman, and apparently she had some debt in her life. And the collector was knocking on her door and said, you have to pay up or we're going to take your children. So she got very desperate, and Elisha told her what to do, and he told her to go get and ask her what she has. She said, I have one jar. So he told her to go and borrow vessels or jars so we can fill up the jars with oil. And as they went to get the jars, the empty jars, the empty vessels, they brought them back to the house, and it says there the oil flowed. And as those jars were kept coming in, the jars kept getting filled up till there was no more. Every jar was filled. It's a pretty amazing story when you think about what happened there. How God was able to use a miracle to provide for this widow everything that she needed and beyond. It was like the oil was flowing. And it says as soon as there was no more jars left, the oil ceased. There was no more flowing. Take that in our life today. Go back to in our original setting. Put it in shoe leather today. I believe today the enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy. And that is his primary job. He'll do whatever he can to destroy us. He'll do whatever he can to destroy the next generation. And in this particular one, the generation was at risk of becoming slaves. And I believe the enemy today wants to destroy each one of our hearts. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're a mom or you're a dad, you're a child. He's out to seek, kill, and destroy you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we're gonna claim on that this morning. But let's just look a little bit on what the enemy's plan is. Sometimes I think it's good for us to get a plan, a strategy plan of what the enemy has and what he's doing. It talks about the oil that flowed into this house when there was vessels there to fill. And there's a lot of things I think that can distract us from allowing our vessel to be filled with oil. And I believe that is one way that the enemy has a big hold on our lives today as Americans, is distraction. And especially today, with all what's going on in the world today, there is so much unrest, there's so much chaos. And we get distracted very easily. We get discouraged. We watch the news, and it almost seems the more you watch it, the more discouraged you get. But this morning, I just want to proclaim again the Word of God, the liberty that we have in our hands to read it and to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Performance is another one I think that is a big snare for us today. We do well in performing. We can make things look good. I want to say this morning, we don't need any more programs. But what we need is a true heart that's willing to open itself up and let the Spirit of God fill your heart. Amen. In your heart. A deep connection with the Spirit is what we need. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want you to notice one thing between the collector and the oil in this story, this particular story. There's one thing that's between the collector and the next generation, and that was the oil. That's the thing that's between this. That's where it's going to break or make this next generation in this particular family. Well, this particular family chose to to follow after what Elijah had instructed them to do, and they went out and gathered these vessels, and they were able to be saved from the awful the arrest of the collectors. Today, sometimes I think there's something very significant about oil, and we can read about that in the scriptures today. The oil has something to do with the Spirit of God. When you read about a lot of it in the scripture, it represents the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there was prophets and kings. They were anointed with oil all the time when God's favor was on their lives. We talk about the story about the 10 virgins. The 5 had oil and the 5 did not. And it said when the bridegroom came, the 5 who did not have oil went to the ones that had oil and said, "Give us your oil." And they said, "We can't. We don't have none for you." And that also shows me that you are responsible for your life. I can tell you about the Spirit of God, but for me to give it to you, I can't give it to you. You have to have your vessel clean and open before God. I think we hear a lot about the anointing, of what that means and what it looks like. Is it for everyone? Is the anointing for everyone today? Amen, it is. It is for everyone. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for teachers, for school teachers, but it's for everyone who's sitting in here. The anointing of the Spirit can be on your life, no matter who you are. Don't ever forget that. I think in the presence of God, it says there is fullness of joy. And when you have fullness of joy, that is a sure sign of the anointing on your heart and your life. The anointing, I believe, is a supernatural power of God. It's God's intervention. It's God's protection in spite of difficulties. It doesn't say it's going to keep us from difficulties, but it's God's protection. When you think about what happens in the, there's a verse in Isaiah, I think, where it talks about when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. It doesn't say you're not going to walk through the fire or walk through the waters, but it says if you walk through the fire, it's not going to burn you, or you're not going to drown into the waters. It's simply the love of God on your heart and in your life. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it changes you. It's life-changing, and your desires change. But the only thing that can protect us and the next generation is the oil, is the Spirit of God in our hearts. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. It is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that sets you free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, you think about, especially in the day we're living today, in the certain season that we're living, it's a Christmas season. What God did is absolutely amazing. Here he got a piece of God, brought it down to this earth, stuffed it in a womb, and this baby was born, the Prince of Peace. From the cradle to the grave to the cross to the resurrection, that is Jesus. The story is complete for us today. And I think for us today, especially as Christians, in the dark, dark world we're living, the darker the world, the brighter our light will shine, or can shine, I should say. And I think it's up to us to be able to allow that to happen in our lives. I think it's important in each one of our hearts that we have fresh oil every day. The anointing of the Spirit is not just for one day. It's not a once and done thing. In other words, when you get up in the morning, I think it's important that we ask God to renew us afresh again and remind us again of what he has done for us and his love for us. In fact, they say when oil gets old, more than a day old, it gets old and stinky. It smells. It's very smelly. And I think that's exactly what it is in our hearts. God wants to fill us with fresh oil every day, the fresh renewing of the Spirit every day in our lives. And I think it was determined for the woman, how many jars were filled? He said, borrow not a few, it said. And I think that's exactly telling us that you determine how much you allow God to work in your heart. You determine how he can work through you and in you. And I think it's each one of our desires to keep growing in our hearts. I think, without a doubt, that's probably our desire. But sometimes we get very distracted, and we get confused, and we get distracted of what's going on around us. But I do want to tell you that don't ever feel like the anointing of the Spirit is too far for you to reach. It really isn't. It's very simple. It's simply being open and honest before God and saying, here I am, use me. The question is, this morning, what is your vessel filled with? Is it full of clutter and things of the world? Is it full of anger and pride and resentment, bitterness? Or maybe it's just full simply of myself. And that, my friends, will not work, to have a prideful heart. So what makes a vessel valuable? I'd like to have a little illustration here of what, just to give you a little bit of an idea. Now, this is a pizza box. Now, if I give you this, is it any value to you? Probably not. It's probably a worthless thing for you if I just give you a box. Now, if I would put a pizza in, you probably would take it. But I think that's exactly what it is telling us as far as our vessels being full of the Spirit. Now, this box does not give value to the product, okay? If I would come to you with a pizza, what's inside that box, the pizza is still valuable, even if it's not in the box, right? Okay, so, but the product gives value to the box. Now, if I put the pizza inside here, into this empty vessel, all of a sudden, the box is worth something. It's valuable. And that's exactly how it is in our lives. And I think what God wants for us today, he wants a clean, empty vessel so he can live in it, so he can pour his love, so he can pour his Spirit into it. Now, I think we also need to be reminded of what sometimes this box is full of clutter and things that God can't, there's no room for God to pour his Spirit in. So it's important that we clean the box out. And God is also a box cleaner. He will clean the box out for you if you ask him to. But then he likes to fill it with your Spirit, with his Spirit as well. So what God is looking for, I believe, is a clean, empty vessel. And you don't need to be the person that has all the talent in the world. You don't need to be that person for God to use. Because all God wants is a clean, empty vessel. That's all he's looking for, so he can fill it. Now, as Jesus was healing the sick, and actually we'll go back a little bit more, 2,000 plus years ago, when God was looking down and said, I've got to redeem these people somehow. Somehow there's got to be a redemption. And Jesus was willing to go. God's only son was willing to come down here as a baby to redeem us, to set us free. And the devil was absolutely furious. Now, if you want to just back up a little bit again as far as the vessel. Here, Jesus was the vessel for us. He came as a vessel for us. But the devil was absolutely furious when this happened. So he said, we're going to get rid of the vessel. We're going to kill him. We're going to destroy him. And he says in the Gospels, it talks about how they took him, they beat him, they mocked him, they spit on him, they put a crown of thorns, and there was blood everywhere for Jesus to get rid of him. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. For my iniquity and for your iniquity. And by his stripes we are healed. In spite of the weak condition, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, his arms stretched out, there was blood everywhere. There was blood running down. In fact, it said his skin was like plow furrows, where it was just laid open. And Jesus was hanging there, and he said, it is finished. And he said, he died. At that moment, the veil from the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, and that veil was open. And now, my friends, we can enter right into the presence of God. We can go through that veil and we can enter into the presence of God. If you think about the story of Esther, when the king held out the scepter, and I think that's exactly what God, what Jesus does for us. As we go through that veil, he holds out the scepter and he says, "What can I do for you?" All he wants is a clean, empty vessel so he can pour his spirit into. That is the way you can be effective in your Christian life. That is the only way you can be effective in your Christian life, with a clean, empty vessel. The price was paid. And it says later on, they put his body in the tomb, and 3 days later he rose. And now we can have the power of the resurrection in our heart. Not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but he also gave us that power to live victorious. It says we have the power of the resurrection in our hearts. That's what it says in the scripture. Now that means that we can live above our circumstances. We can live above what's happening in the world today. Isn't that exciting? When you think about how the provisions that God made for us, and now we can also tap into the endless and amazing supply of God's Spirit. It never runs dry. And that made the devil again very angry. And he is again saying, "Destroy the vessel." Now he wants to destroy you. But Jesus promised that if we have a clean, empty vessel, he's going to redeem us. He's going to set us free. And there's no way that the devil can be able to destroy that if we allow Jesus into our hearts. John 7, verse 38, it says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Isn't that amazing? That we can actually have the love of Christ in our hearts. And it says that out our hearts will flow rivers, not just one, but it says rivers, two, three, whatever it is, will flow out of us. And we can be a benefit to the people around us, and we can be an example, we can witness, we can be a light to the world. In verse 4, it talks about one of the secrets, I think, here for the widow, what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to go into this room and say, "Shut the door." And I think sometimes that is where we miss it. As a father especially, sometimes I can go into this room and I don't shut the door. But God wants alone time with each one of us. He doesn't just want part of you. He wants all of you. Now, if you think about, and I like to talk to you just a little bit as fathers this morning. I think there's quite a few here. You are responsible what comes into your home. You are responsible what filters in. And today, friends, there is so much things that can filter right through the house. Now, I understand that when you grow up, you're responsible for your own choices and actions. I understand that completely. But as your children are growing up, and I think there's a lot of young families here, you're responsible what filters into your home. What kind of doors do you let open in your house, in your home? Is it cluttering your vessel? Is your vessel clean and empty? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to fill your heart so you can raise your family in a godly way? How do you ever expect to raise your children if your heart is full of clutter and junk and filth? I would just like to plead with you, dads, this morning. It matters, my friends. It matters what comes into your house. It matters if you're responsible or not. We have so many gadgets in front of us, and they're good gadgets. We use them. They're very valuable. But they also can be very deadly to our homes if we're not careful with them. So what is going on in your heart today? Is it clean and empty? Is your vessel clean and empty? Ready to be filled with the Spirit? And maybe it's filled already. Praise God if it is. But keep filling it with fresh oil. Just because it's full today doesn't mean it's full forever. It's not. It needs to be continuous flow of the Spirit. It's a renewing of the spirit of the mind every day. Maybe your vessel is full of clutter, fear, worry, anxiousness. There's no lack of oil today. The oil is not the problem. What God is looking for is clean, empty vessels. I believe that God has such a wonderful plan for each one of you, and God is ready and waiting to use you in mighty ways. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? He will protect you through the fire and the flood. It doesn't say it's going to be easy, but God will protect you. I believe this morning it's impossible as Christians to live without the Holy Spirit. That is impossible, to live a victorious life without the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send me in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." It starts with the small things. It's really not that difficult. You don't have to be this great celebrity or whoever you want to, whatever you think of, to be filled with the Spirit. It's not that hard. All he wants is a clean, empty vessel. That is what God is looking for this morning, to a clean, empty vessel so he can pour his Spirit into you. Nothing will be accomplished apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. It has an impact on everything, everything of your life. Not just when you're away, but your personal life, whatever it may be. It has an impact on everything you do. The anointing, my friends, is a man who has nothing but to give himself totally to God. Then even the smallest word or deed can be the anointing of the Spirit. The smallest word or deed can be anointing of the Spirit. Little as much when God is in it. Also, I believe as far as the generations that we're, and you hear it all the time, and it actually really gets me when I hear it, when you hear the fact of, I feel sorry for this generation. I feel sorry for these children of what's happening today. Today, I want to assure you, without a doubt, that you are here for such a time as this. You are here for such a time as this. God placed you in this generation at this time for a purpose and for a reason. You're not a millennial. You're not a next generation, but your identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever identify yourself with a generation, because that is not who you are. You are the work that God has placed in you, I believe. You are somebody that God has placed in you. And I believe that with all my heart that God will be able to use you for his purpose and for his glory. Do the right thing. Let revival start in your heart. That is my encouragement to you this morning. Do the right thing. Let revival start in your heart. Let revival start with you. You're here for such a time as this. And we talked, the song that was sung this morning as far as the goodness of God running after us. I was just reminded of that recently. Actually, I did a study on it, had a message on the goodness of God following after you. And if you read in Psalms 23, it talks about, it goes through that where how God leads us beside the still waters, and it goes through that whole list of things that God does for us. And the very last verse there just spoke volumes to me recently when I was studying it. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you." Goodness and mercy shall follow you. Now, how long does it say? Just for a few days? All the days of your life. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So be encouraged this morning. God is on the throne. He's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. God bless you.